Boeing gets into deeper trouble with recent announcement to their 737 MAX planes, Facebook stored millions of passwords on their servers without protection, and computer giant Asus doesn't know how to do security right. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cutting Edge Tech, Episode 8. So glad you could join me here on today's episode. And continuing on last episode's topic of the Boeing 737 MAX, so Boeing has come out and kind of revealed something that is kind of disturbing and shocking at the same time. Because in a piece by CNBC, it says here, "Crash jet reportedly lacked key safety features because Boeing charged extra for them." What? So you're saying that these features that are key to the safety of the airplanes, you're telling me that you're going to charge extra for these and put lives of many people in danger? Wow, Boeing. Like, I'm completely in awe at this piece. It continues to say, "Boeing jets in Ethiopia and Indonesia lack two safety features in their cockpits because the company charged extra to install them. The features could have helped pilots detect erroneous readings, which some experts believe might be connected to the plane's failures, as reported by the New York Times. Lion Air's Flight 610 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, which crashed within 5 months of each other, were brand new, but were not equipped with an angle of attack indicator or an angle of attack disagree light," the paper said. And then the piece continues to say that the angle of attack indicator determines how much the plane's nose is tilted, and the disagree light is activated if the jet's sensors are giving contradictory signals. So, to recapture on the 737 MAX's design, they put some engines on it, some turbines on them, that would eventually cause them to tilt their nose upwards to the sky. And they put the MCAS, which was the system that would correct that mistake, it would put it on. So it would activate itself before a pilot could even know that it was activated to correct that mistake, meaning that it would activate without the pilot's consent, like I said in the previous episode. And I think you can kind of guess where that indicator light would come in, right? Because if the nose tilted up in and of itself pretty high, it would activate the MCAS, which is the regulating system that would put it back down. That indicator light would have been, "Oh, your nose is too high. Remember, the MCAS is activating." No, that would be an indicator at least to the pilots to let them know, like, "Oh, the airplane's actually fixing itself." But no, they charged extra for that. And the disagree light, when the jet sensors are giving contradictory signals, that could serve to at least let them know that, hey, there's something wrong here. The sensors on the jet are telling me something that is not happening. And that, I think that would be pretty necessary, don't you think? Because then you would know what's going on and why your plane is actually doing the stuff that it's doing. I don't know, but they dropped the ball on that one. I just can't. And it continues to say that Boeing will not make the disagree light free of charge on all new 737 MAX planes after the deadly crashes caused all the MAX planes to be grounded, and the angle of attack indicator will remain an option that airlines can purchase. The company is also planning on a new software update. Now, the software update, we've already known that this was going to come, but the disagree light, at least they're making one of them free. But in the case of this, I think both of them should be made free of charge, because this is something that can save lives. Because after all of this, it continues to say that they are critical and cost almost nothing for the airlines to install. Sure, that was said by Bjorn Fern, I hope I mentioned that name right, an analyst at the aviation consultancy Lehem, told the New York Times. "Boeing charges for them because it can, but they are vital for security." Okay, so if you got someone who's a consultant that is telling you that something is vital to the safety or to the correct operation of your equipment, you should listen to that person. Why? Because that person knows more than you do. You know, if you're asking someone to consult on a certain topic, for example, let's put an example of an IT consultant. If an IT consultant is telling you, hey, you need this equipment in order for this to function properly, and you're like, okay, well, tell me how to do it, tell me how to use them. That's the correct way of actually going about this. Now, if you go to this person that you contracted to actually consult with about a certain device or a certain network, in the case of an IT, or in a certain equipment, you tell them, hey, what can I do for this? And they say, oh, you need to put this new measure or this new equipment that can help you with this in order to function properly. And the person goes, oh, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. But hey, I'm telling you that this is vital for your, you know, for your equipment. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. Why though? Because they're saying it's vital. So why are you going to charge for this? If you're going to charge for this, at least charge for like add-ons to make it more comfortable, to make it fly a little bit better, or et cetera, et cetera. But if you're going to charge for something that could save the lives of people, are you serious? Like, lives have become a market thing now. So you can just, hey, I'm going to put this light here. It's going to be free of charge, but this other light that could save the life of the people that are in this plane, you know, that little feature, oh, it's going to cost you extra. What? Seriously? Come on. So you can't be serious. And even though that they were following the FAA and the Boeing guidance, it should be a feature that should be implemented on all of the planes. It's a lifesaver. Why are you charging more for this, Boeing? Come on. Like, seriously? Is this a marketing thing for you? Because if it is, you need to start reevaluating yourself. That's all I'm going to say. You need to start evaluating your decisions, your marketing decisions, and where is your moral obligation towards this. Why? Because if you're going to charge for something, like I've said, if you're going to charge for something that could potentially save the lives of thousands of people that could be on a plane, then there's something wrong in your head. I'm sorry, there's something morally wrong in your head. I'm just going to tell you that. Now, we'll be back with some more here on The Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. And we are back here at The Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. So, Facebook. Okay, so you made another oopsie. Again, but this time this could have cost you many of your users' passwords. So, Facebook decided to store hundreds of millions of passwords unprotected. And according to the piece, it put them in their internal servers in a very insecure way. So, yeah. Let's see how this goes. So, it starts the piece by saying Facebook mistakenly stored hundreds of millions of passwords in plain text, unprotected by any encryption, the company has admitted. By the mistake, which led to user passwords being kept in Facebook's internal servers in an insecure way, affected hundreds of millions of Facebook Lite users, tens of millions of other Facebook users, and tens of thousands of Instagram users. So it's not only Facebook that was affected, it was also Instagram. Good job. According to the social networking site, in a statement, Facebook's Vice President of Engineering, Security, and Privacy, Pedro Canahuati, I hope I said that right, said, "We have found no evidence to date that anyone internally abused or improperly accessed the passwords, which were never visible to anyone outside of Facebook, and affected users will be directly notified. Nonetheless, the risk of misuse was high." According to security reporter Brian Krebs, who cited a senior Facebook insider, access logs showed some 2,000 engineers and developers made approximately 9 million internal queries for data elements that contain plain text user passwords. Uh-oh! So, Facebook, you decided to store passwords unsecured, unprotected, and unencrypted into your internal servers. You say mistakenly, but honestly, based on your recent Analytica scandal, I'm not so sure I should believe you. Because that wasn't a mistake, and you compromising the passwords of millions of people, you say it could be a mistake, and I could say it could be a mistake, but given your recent track record, I can't give you that benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm sorry, I can't give you a benefit of the doubt, because come on, guys. Like, you guys gotta know where you're putting your stuff, you know, where you're putting your passwords, most importantly, and especially if it's gonna affect not only one platform, but three, because it affected Facebook Lite, Facebook Normal, you know, normal Facebook, and Instagram. So yeah, you should probably look into your security, into that vice president of security. Yeah, you should probably either give him a scolding, suspend him, or maybe fire him. Just saying. Because he's not doing a very good job. But there's also two sides to the story. Could have been a mistake, could have not been a mistake, but I'm not going to take sides. I'm going to leave you to decide that little one. Best practice for password security involves a number of precautions to ensure that, even if the company is hacked, stolen passwords cannot be used, the article continues to say. Passwords should be hashed, a one-way process which transforms every password into a unique hash and ideally salted. Ensure that even two identical passwords produce different hashes. Okay, that got a little bit technical for those of you who don't know much about cryptography. So I'm gonna give you a little bit of a plain text manner. Hey, see what I did there? I'm gonna give you a little, you know, description of what hashing is. Like it said there, it's a one-way method of converting a plain text into a scramble of digits and symbols, etc., etc. And it, like it said, is one way only. So you can't unhash it, meaning you can't decrypt it. And the salted means the amount of times it's gonna hash itself. For example, the amount of times it's gonna encrypt itself, basically. For example, if you put I want this to be hashed 7 times. Well, it's gonna be hashed a first time, and after that, it's gonna be salted, meaning encrypted more, 7 more times. So, for those that didn't understand those technical terms, that's basically what it means. It means just continuously encrypting what's already been encrypted, making it even harder to actually unencrypt. But since hashes are a one-way process, they can't be unencrypted so far. At least that's what I've been known so far. I don't know if they actually been able to actually manage or manufacture a way to unhash something, but up to this point, they haven't. At least to my knowledge. It continues to say that those are the security practices that Facebook normally takes, and which were overlooked in this case. I wonder how many other cases they have overlooked such things. Kanahwadi said Facebook has now fixed this particular issue as well as some problems the company had discovered in other security features such as the code by which users log in through their apps. Through other apps. So they've found something else. So, well, at least they're taking actions in other stuff that they haven't disclosed yet. That's good. I guess it served its purpose. The Information Commissioner's Office warned companies, do not store passwords in plain text. Make sure to use a suitable hashing algorithm or another mechanism that offers an equivalent level of protection against an attacker deriving the original password. You should also ensure that the architecture around your password system does not allow for any inadvertent leaking of passwords in plain text. The guidance refers to the exact sort of error that Facebook admitted to on Thursday. The ICO has not issued a fine purely for storing passwords in an unsecure fashion, although it has cited insecure storage as an aggravating factor when penalizing more serious data protection breaches. Okay, so they got away with this one, but they should be more careful next time and make sure that they don't commit this mistake ever, like ever again. Okay, Facebook, unfortunately, many of the things right now run through you. So if you're going to actually be involved in many of the stuff that happen in current times, you should have a better protection system towards your passwords. Because stuff like this cannot be tolerated in any scenario whatsoever, whether it be a company, whether it be an individual, or whether it be an enterprise, which is basically a bigger company. It shouldn't be accepted, and it will not go down without a problem, you know? Like, right now, you compromised so many passwords. Thank God nothing happened to them. Thank God that everything was normal, quote-unquote normal, and that nobody had the bright idea to hack you in those moments. Otherwise, they would be like, hey, look at all these passwords that look unencrypted. I'm going to use them now. Yeah, you got lucky this time, Facebook, but you probably won't be as lucky the second time. So revise your security measures. Now, we'll be right back with some more here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me here. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere, guys. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me here. So let us continue to our final piece of news on this day. So, ASUS, pronounced ASUS, that company, it's in a bit of a tight spot. Let's just say that. And it's because their firmware update servers were hacked. But that's not the most important issue here. No. The most important issue is that they've known this for 6 months. 6 months until March 26, which was yesterday. So March 26, you're telling me that this, you've known this for 6 months and you know that your firmware update servers are hacked. They've been hacked. Well, in reality, they just recently admitted to actually knowing that their servers were hacked, but they've been like this ever since the mid-2018. So, it says here on the piece that Vice Motherboard and Kaspersky Lab revealed that ASUS firmware update servers had been broken into in mid-2018 by hackers who appeared to have ties to the Chinese government. Hi China, missed you there. It continues to say that the hackers spent June through November of 2018 sending out malicious firmware updates to ASUS computers using their own update servers and their own cryptographically signed digital signatures for verification. It then continues to say that the malware, when activated, opens up a backdoor on the ASUS systems that allows the download and installation of more malware without the PC user's knowledge. Now, Kaspersky Lab, it continues to say about Kaspersky Labs and what they found. It also continues to say that Symantec, the maker of Norton Security and other antiviruses products, detected even more. So to give you the numbers, Kaspersky Lab discovered the malware on January 29th by analyzing telemetry from its own antivirus user base. And it gathered that there were about 57,000 infected ASUS PCs in Kaspersky's sample set. You know, they used a sample from the people that use Kaspersky, and they found 57,000 ASUS computers that were infected with the malware. And in Symantec and the other antivirus product, detected another 13,000 infected machines in their own user base. And here's the catch. The catch is that the malware is activated only if one of an infected system's MAC addresses, unique network port identifiers that differ from one machine to the next, matches a MAC address on a hit list buried in the malware code. So basically, they have a hit list on their malware code. So if your MAC address in the ASUS computer matches the one in the virus's code, you're done. You're gonna get that virus. And like it said in the piece, since your MAC address is unique, because the MAC address is the number that identifies a machine, there's no two identical MAC addresses in the world. None. Like, you could go all around the world searching for any product, any electronical product, young and old, and they will not have the same MAC address. You will not find it at all. And if it matches someone of the MAC addresses, one of the MAC addresses in that hit list, you're cooked. You're gonna get that if you have an ASUS computer in this case. Kaspersky's team notified ASUS of the issue on January 31st, but a Kaspersky researcher told Vice Motherboard's Kim Zetter that ASUS initially denied that its servers had been hacked. It's not clear how long this state of denial lasted. Both Kaspersky and Symantec had plenty of proof that the malware came straight from Asus's update servers. But even then, Asus had the completely wrong response. When a major computer security company, whether or not you trust Kaspersky Labs, its researchers are highly respected, comes to you and tells you there's something wrong, you listen. Thank you. Thank you. Someone that actually says that you should listen to the people that know more than you. Because, for example, a company like Asus, you know, let's take the example of Asus. Asus, they don't focus on antivirus products. They focus on building computers, which eventually will need an antivirus product. And an antivirus company focuses on making the antivirus to protect said computers or said devices, you know? And if those firms that are dedicated to actually making antiviruses to protect your stuff, if they come and tell you, hey, there's something wrong with your servers, I have proof that your servers are hacked, that your servers are sending out information that is malicious, meaning you have malwares on the computers or your servers might have been hacked, here's the proof. And you go, no, I don't think so. Our servers are pretty hack-proof. First mistake. When someone from an antivirus company tells you have something wrong in your servers, you listen, just like it says in the article. You listen, because if you continue to do this, if you continue to deny something that you don't know how to do, then you're going to be exposed to more of this stuff. You know, if someone tells you, oh, you should actually listen to me because there's someone hacking your stuff, there's someone inside you, you better check your servers, hurry up, and you go, nah, I don't think so, my servers are pretty bulletproof, you should stop worrying about that, you know, you should let me take care of my stuff. And you go in there and finally, like, uh-oh, we've been hacked, they were right, how do I do this now? How do I work this? Then you're gonna be in a pickle, you know? You should actually listen to them before, because if someone tells you that big of a concern, there's something very bad going on, and you should go and check. That is the first rule of network security. If someone tells you there's something wrong with your security, you should check what that thing is. You don't sit around going like, I'll just let it go, you know? I'll just let it be. Like, no, you should go and check. Because that's your duty to your customer base. That is your utmost importance, the security of your products. Because if you don't have security in your products, they will not buy your products. This is going to be a very big hit to Asus. I'm going to say it straight up. This is going to be a very hit for Asus. They might not feel it in the short term, but in the long term, they might feel it a little bit more. Let's see where this goes. We'll keep developing as this goes on. Hopefully they've learned to fix this, because otherwise they should actually contract someone that actually takes care of the security the proper way. That's what I would say for this. But anyways, that's all for this episode today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Cutting Edge Tech in this new episode. Apologies, because this episode actually came out a little bit later. I had some personal stuff, like I posted in my Facebook page. If you haven't liked the page, go like it now. It's Cutting Edge Tech Podcast, you know, at Cutting Edge Tech Podcast. You put that in the Facebook search and it should pop up. I apologize for that. Some personal stuff came up, but nonetheless, here we are. The episode's up. Like I said, before the end of the week, this episode was going to be up. So here it is. Thank you so much for being patient. Thank you so much for joining me here. Like the page on Facebook and make sure to follow it, you know, to keep up to date with everything that I do and everything that I post in there. All the episodes, as soon as they're posted, will be posted in that page. So that's a way of getting to know when episodes are going up, or if something happens that I might upload them a little bit later, or that I might upload them in a different day. But there you will stay posted on it and be kept up to date if anything changes during the upload schedule, or if something changes in the time that I will give the podcast out, or anything else that's related to this podcast. So thank you so much for joining me today. And remember, keep it techie, my friends. I'll see you guys on the next Wednesday. Hopefully nothing happens and that I can upload next week's episode with no problems. Thank you so much. I'll be seeing you next Wednesday. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.